Just don't have that voiceover thing down completely here yet.
No. Yeah. It's hard to do.
I know. I got something caught. You know, this is that time of year. There's like a...
There's something in the air.
Yeah,
there is. The phlegm comes out.
Yeah, they got the... It's, I don't know. It's fall allergies. Everybody's got a cold. I don't know. Whatever the situation is. All right. Michael Steele is joining us right now. He used to run the Republican Party, and today he's happy he doesn't. Now, I will ask you this, Mr. Steele. Is what we saw today in... And I got to say... That Joe McGuire was a very, very impressive figure today in the House Select Committee on Intelligence, right? I mean, it was a that guy looks like he knows what he's doing. And he and I think it was a responsible move for him to come up and stand there in open session. Now, we understand that he then went on to a Senate session, which was a closed session later in the day. So I don't know, you know, what goes on there and what the difference would be. Because we have noticed that a number of people, when they go up to the open sessions, they tend to be playing to an audience of one at times.
Right.
And I think that Joe McGuire has got to maintain the trust of the president because, as the acting director of national intelligence, he's the guy who has to come to the president in all those movies. Like when there's an asteroid heading toward Earth, that's the guy who shows up and goes, "You're not going to believe this, Mr. President. Sit down." You know, and that's, and you need to have the trust of him. So I understand what he's doing, and I was impressed by him. However, does this add up to you as the kind of thing that will change our government?
Yes. This is damning. It is damaging. It is a huge problem for the president because he has now in the public two documents which corroborate each other. Of his activities regarding a July 25th phone call with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. And the question now is, given that what was stated in the complaint, that the whistleblower received all this information, not one, but from many sources who were either on the phone, in the room, know firsthand what happened, who themselves could not, because of maybe their position, come forward, but this individual could. All this information's now been funneled into one repository. That's the whistleblower, who at some point, if it hasn't already, he or she hasn't already, will inform the respective investigative bodies who all those individuals were. And presumably the DNI, the National Intelligence Director, through the internal workings of the whistleblower process, has had this confirmed by the internal investigator. So, yeah, this is not good. No matter how much you scream about it, no matter how much the president sort of says this is, you know, no collusion, no corruption, this is a witch hunt, dude. This is burning paper. You're talking about a smoking gun. This is burning paper that's really, I think, going to be a real problem for the president. Now, having said that, of course, the Democrats can screw the whole thing up, in which case it won't have the same, you know.
All right, let me, before we saw with Mueller. Before we go back to some of the detail of what we learned today, because it was pretty damning. Well, the one thing the president has done in his two availabilities today is said, "Listen, what about Joe Biden? What about Joe Biden? What if now?" And he, you know, he's got an attorney general sitting there who seems to, you know, like what he's doing, the president. And it you would think that if there were something about Joe Biden that, or Joe Biden's son, that was patently illegal, that would be a bigger story than it is. And we keep hearing from news outlets like CNN going, there is absolutely no evidence to back up the claims of the president here. But Joe Biden's kid obviously was in private equity. He did get money in China. He did get money in the Middle East. He has gotten money in there was, you know, something going on in Ukraine. Where's that story for you?
That story's been litigated. As far as I know, there's been no further evidence from the earlier investigations by not one but several national reporting outlets like the Washington Post, investigations on the ground in Ukraine, I don't know what more there is to reveal at this point when the people who've looked at it, I mean, it, and again, you know, reporters, that's a nice chewy bone to get a hold of, particularly as Joe Biden is about to launch a presidential bid.
Right. And he's got a lot of enemies.
So
he's got all those other people on the stage. At one point, he had 26 other enemies, right?
Right.
That would be interested in having him fall apart.
And none of them raised it out of the box. I mean, so clearly there was no there. Now, you know, of course, there a lot of folks are saying, oh, well, you know, they didn't thoroughly investigate it. Well, come on, stop it. I mean, that's like saying that Benghazi wasn't thoroughly investigated. It was. And what was the result? A lot of wasted dollars, because the evidence on its face told you that there was no criminal activity and there was no cover up and there was no this or that. So the same thing is here. I think, you know, I don't know for sure. There may be some other shoes that may drop on this, but I would think that after the protracted, you know, investigation that had been done at the time it was happening, real time, that something very damaging or explosive would come up. The money that that Hunter was paid was, yeah, we may think it's excessive, but, you know, it wasn't corrupt. It wasn't illegal.
Right.
And so that last I checked, that wasn't a reason for criminal activity,
right?
Because you get paid $50,000 to sit on a board.
Well, and Trump, the Trump kids and the, you know, and son-in-law,
well,
and all,
yeah,
that. I mean, they're all involved in these in businesses like this, and one would imagine that they will also, you know, at some point after this is all said and done, you know, we'll have.
Well, they're doing it now.
Right, they have internet. Right, which,
I mean,
yes,
Trump is hawking her shoe line in China, for goodness sake. So come on, stop it. It's just,
all right.
You
know, so
crazy.
So having said that, does this hurt Biden as a potential candidate?
No, I don't think it does. I'd be surprised if the American people look at this and go, oh, my God, no, he can't be president. I don't see that connection. I think if nothing else, Biden gets a lot of sympathy points here because his son is being used against him in this way by the president. I mean, look, no matter what you think about Hunter Biden did or didn't do, the fact that this friggin' sitting president of the United States called up the head of another country and said, basically, put it on street terms, yo, dude, I need some help in my backyard with this fool who's giving me a lot of grief. Give me whatever dirt you got on him, on him and his son in your backyard, so I can get stuff straight in my backyard. That's basically what we're talking about. I mean, that conversation never should have happened. And no matter what you think about Joe Biden or Hunter Biden, the fact that the president of the United States, who's running for re-election, who's currently sitting in office, used the power and authority of his office to do something like that, to go after a former vice president, to dig up dirt on a former vice president, not because there was a criminal enterprise that he was trying to expose that was harmful to the nation, that this was, you know, high diplomatic channel conversation because of the threat to national security, but to help him in his reelection bid.
Okay.
And it furthers a narrative, Roe, about the protection of that election process and what this administration may be willing to do to corrupt that process. I think it's a legitimate question to put on the table.
I have recklessly speculated for the last 2 days with a number of other people that we've had talking about this, right, that have been on the show, and I find the timing of this to be really suspect, because within
finally the timing of what
the timing of this disclosure happening last week to be about 10 days after John Bolton left the White House in a very sort of an ugly incident.
Oh, I like the way you think.
I think that this is not revenge being served cold at all. I think that they're,
oh, baby,
because who would have access? You know, he at the time of this phone call, who would have had access to the information and the other people in that room? Right? Who would have known that?
Oh, dude, I love the way you think. Yeah, and Bolton is from the school of serving it up cold.
Yeah,
that's
for sure. Yes, well, serving it up. He's not. He. I mean, when this happened, I said the day that he left, I go, he is not going to go quietly.
No.
And it didn't take 10 days before this thing hit.
Yeah. Yeah. And from what I understand, I've not spoken to the ambassador directly, but I have talked to a few people who had. There's more. I mean, I'm not saying that he had anything to do with this because I have no way to know that.
I'm saying it, but go ahead.
But you're saying it. Mm-hmm. But but he does plan to say something. He does plan to engage on some of these national security, these big policy questions, particularly with respect to Iran over the next few weeks. So that could be sort of a double narrative that gets out there that may actually affirm your point a little bit more than anything else. But that's a very interesting storyline.
Yeah. Michael Steele, let me ask you something. New emerged today on the Ukrainian situation when we learned that some White House officials had moved to lock down this information. It seems that became clearer today, and whether that was because they understood the gravity of what might need to be protected, or whether they're protecting the president, or for whatever reason, I guess I'm asking you to weigh in on what do you think happened there, and will we learn more about those White House officials? Will they ultimately be sitting before Congress?
They all will. Everybody who is anybody who touched this storyline in whatever fashion or way they touched it, whether they had information delivered or sent to them, they were in the room for a conversation, they transcribed the documents. I mean, because look, the first document that came out from the White House, which was basically the TikTok of the presidential brief, you know, call with Zelensky, we have to understand that was not the full call. You got an abbreviated version of that. Remember, this is a 30-minute phone call.
Right. And it was damning. It was damning enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what's ironic about that? This is where history has a weird, twisted way, Anna, to your point, come back and bite you. Remember back what Nixon did when he thought he was smarter than everybody else, and he released the first tape that he released. He thought was innocuous enough, right, and didn't really say anything. Mm-hmm. And it actually turned out to be the smoking gun. It was the thing that showed that they were actually starting the process of covering up. Well, that's what this phone call did. I mean, when you then couple that with what the whistleblower's account is about how they tried to, they took this information, instead of putting it on the traditional server where it's supposed to go, all of a sudden White House lawyers and officials came in, started, you know, cleaning up behind the call, if you will, moved that information to a highly secured spot. And I had a former counterintelligence official on my podcast today, the Michael Steele podcast, by the way. And he talked about, I got to do the plug, right? And he talked about, he talked about this very question and about what will happen, what has happened in the past with that kind of information. Something like a phone call with the president, you know, between the president of another country and the U.S. president would never go on this particular server.
Right. So will we get
highly secure information in it?
Right. So will we get will Congress get a readout of this, of the actual call? Do you think?
Oh yeah,
I got about 10 seconds.
They'll get the full. They should be able to get the full call. Then, particularly if this gets swept up, which it is more than likely will be, if not become the anchor of an impeachment investigation, all of that's going to get detailed. All of that's going to be out there. And if I know the Democrats, all of it's going to be made public.
Yes, I think you're right. You're right about that. Right. And I remember John Bolton. I love that song, When a Man Loves a Woman. I love that song from him back in the 90s. It's the best. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael
Steele.
Yeah, it was the hair.
Great hair.
He just moved it around to his lip.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Later.
All right. Oh, it's interesting. All right. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Kim Gordon is. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Ro, the number of people getting sick and dying from vaping continues to rise. We'll bring you the latest numbers coming up.